Welcome to Inside Analog Photo. I'm your host, Scott Shepard, and the Inside Analog Photography radio program brought to you by our friends over at Fujifilm for black and white, C41, color neg, chrome, instant pack film, and of course, Instax. Now here in the country, definitely check them out over at www.fujifilmusa.com/professional, making life more colorful. Our friends, of course, over at Richard Photo Lab, the place to send all of your film to be developed, digital files if you need them printed. A lot of great work going on at Richard, used by a lot of professionals across the country. Check them out, richardphotolab.com. Our friends over at DR5, the place to send black and white film to turn it into chrome. That's right, black and white chrome. Unbelievable latitude, dynamic range, D-Max, you won't believe it. This stuff rocks. Check it out, DR5.com. Our friends over at Upstrap at upstrap-pro.com, the camera strap that will not slide off your shoulder. And of course, our media partners over at www.apug.org, the Analog Photography User Group, the place on the web for all things analog photo. The best support you can get, great membership rates, you get a gallery, a lot of stuff going on, $30 a year, unbelievable support for the place on the web for analog photography. We got a great show today. We're going to have with us Scott DiSabato. Scott is the marketing manager with Eastman Kodak, in charge of professional films. We're going to talk today about the new Ektar 100 that's available now in 120 format. So this is pretty cool. Great news for the guys that are out there shooting Ektar. You can have it in a medium format now. Just a lot of great stuff going on. Scott, how you doing today?
I'm doing great, Scott. How about yourself?
I'm doing good. Thanks for joining us here on Inside Analog Photo. Great to talk to you again here about this beautiful Ektar film. And I know today we're going to touch base on the announcement here that Ektar is now available in a 120 format that I think is just fabulous.
Yeah, it's really exciting. I mean, to have created the finest grain color negative film and then be able to offer that in medium format now just really makes the quality possibilities just that much greater. So we're very, very excited. So far, it has just taken off. I think the fact that we launched the 35 millimeter in 2008 at the end of the year there built the awareness up nicely that we had this new product. But as the season changes and people are more interested in getting outside to do some photography, I really think that the demand for this has shot up very nicely.
So, Scott, let's touch up on that. If people had not listened to our previous interview about the Ektar announcement, let's talk about the Ektar film itself a little bit more before we get into, of course, it being available here in 120.
That sounds good. We'll recap that. It's a brand new film. It's a film where we've borrowed technology from our sister division in motion picture, and we've leaned heavily on the vision technology they have, which is essentially our microstructure optimized T-grain emulsion. So just the latest, greatest generation, high efficiency T-grain films, along with advanced cubical silver halide, which is the old fashioned type of grain that you have. And when you're dealing with slower speed films like this, being able to blend both of those grain technologies into one emulsion really delivers superior results. You've got the light collection capability and sharpness inherent in the T-grain, and you have the fine grain and the low level of light scattering that the cubical silver halide offers an emulsion like that. So great stuff. Very, very, very high in color. It still does a pretty decent job with skin tone, though. I got to say, it's not the Portra line of films, but skin tones look pretty good there. But it just has really nice, punchy color. And unlike the previous Ektars that we had a decade or so ago, you'll find that this film has a very moderate contrast position. So to me, that's like the best of both worlds, where you've got poppy color and moderate contrast. And I think in today's kind of hybrid environment, where a lot of this stuff ends up getting scanned before it's printed, you've got all that information contained very nicely. The highlight and shadow details are contained very nicely with the moderate contrast position we've selected for this film. So essentially all of that is the same for medium format, only we're dealing with 6 centimeter, 2 1/4 inch slice of film rather than the 24 millimeter ratio that we have.
What do you see the applicable use for Ektar film? Is this something that Kodak developed that was good for travel photography? I mean, like you said, it's not the Portra line, but it does render skin tones very, very nicely, very creamy, very cool. So what was the process behind your guys' planning on what this Ektar film was going to be used for? Because like you said, the grain on this is virtually non-existent.
Yeah, I hate to pigeonhole a film because I think a photographer can load this into the camera and do fantastic things with it. But absolutely, I think that travel, nature, outdoor photography market, that still relies quite a bit on film. It was really the target, and also a lot of advanced amateurs out there that have professional-level equipment. take professional level images, but just don't make their living doing it. We definitely wanted to appeal to that group, which is a very large group. And so that's sort of what we've targeted at. But I have seen an incredible range of photography in studio and on the street, in nature, and it all looks just fantastic. Certainly one of the things that we're keeping an eye on is the challenges that a lot of transparency, ektachrome shooters are facing today. They're not able to always find a lab in the city they live in, and then the convenience of film drops a bit. So we're kind of positioning this film as a potential backup or replacement for an E6 film, only because it offers that incredible grain like a transparency film. Nice poppy color, and it can really, I think, be a good backup for someone that likes to use E6 but no longer has a lab within driving distance and they have to send it off. It's something to consider.
No, I think that is a big thing to be able to get your correct development done on E6, to find a good lab that can do it in a local type basis. Then again, too, is I think with shooting C41 color neg, you have such more latitude in exposure that I think maybe people that aren't really established as being a film photographer can get themselves a nice camera, pick up an old camera, and load some of this Ektar in it and actually get a beautiful picture, because you have more latitude than you do with chrome. But then you're going to get these exposures that are coming out of this Ektar 100 are looking like chrome.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I think that the latitude that a color and egg film offers a photographer, especially one that may be starting out, will really help with a lot more keepers as opposed to shooting this stuff on transparency film, without a doubt. Now, transparency film is a beautiful way to record an image, for sure. And so this doesn't quite replace dropping a bunch of transparencies on a light box, which is just fantastic to look at. But certainly in a kind of hybrid workflow, and most chromes get scanned, let's face it. If you're going to scan something, starting with a color neg film, gives you all that great latitude in both exposure and the lighting compensation, of color temperature, those sort of things.
Have you found that using the current C41 process, do you find with the Ektar 100 and I guess with the whole line of Kodak films that you can have a variance in your C41 chemistry? So depending if you want to take this stuff up to the local mini lab, if you want to take it up to the drugstore, you're still going to get a decent looking photo back.
Yeah, again, as well as exposure latitude, color negative films offer, I guess, what we could coin processing latitude, and where it's important if you're kind of aspiring to professional level work that you have good processing. But unlike transparency film, your processing really has to be great because your final product is that film, and there's not another generation beyond that where you can tweak or improve or make changes. And so E6 process always had to be great. Where I think if you have good or adequate, and sometimes even less than that, processing standards for C41, this film's going to have the processing latitude that you're still going to get some great images out of it, for sure. So, yeah, I think you're right that there'll be more flexibility with a range of labs that you would drop your film off to with this film than you would get with other professional, especially transparency films.
I know that the Ektar 100, of course, is rated at ISO 100. Have you found that people like it at 100? Do they like to shoot it at 50, at 64? What have you seen when they're shooting stuff? Or is the film pretty much nailed on the money at 100?
Well, it's a 100-speed film through the ISO testing that we've done. However, I've heard a lot of photographers, and this just makes sense. If you expose for shadows, you're basically opening up a bit, adding more light, treating it like it's a slower film. So the natural tendency is, if you're going to err, is to add more light and more exposure by rating it possibly at 80 or 64. So I've heard a lot of people have been getting richer shadows by rating it lower. So just meter differently, meter into those shadows to make sure that that critical information, which is the most sensitive in the color negative system, being recorded accurately. So it's definitely going to work for you at 100. But if you've got a lot of low-key information in your pictures and it's kind of a darker, moodier type of shot, think about opening up a little bit just to make sure you're recording in those shadow areas the richness that this film can offer.
Well, I think that's one thing that's so great about shooting color neg C41 process film is you can shoot it, let's say, the 100 at 50, but then expose for your negatives. And the film's going to capture specular highlights. It's going to capture details in the black. It's going to have amazing shadow detail. And that's what makes it more versatile than shooting chrome.
Yeah, and I keep hearing this over and over, and from a lot of photographers that were pretty much chrome shooters and playing around, shot some of the Ektar, and they had scans done, and that was it. They didn't have to do anything beyond that. It came out just the way they wanted it, and they didn't have to spend a whole lot of time behind the computer. It kind of came out in the photographic system with the scan they had, pretty much the way they wanted it to look. So film can really at times be a time saver when you look at workflow. Definitely just trying to get an image to a client or for yourself just to begin to use it and print it and enjoy it. Film gets it right most times on the first try.
How have you seen the acceptance of this new film based off of what we have going on here in Atlanta Digital? People don't realize, but Kodak is the market leader when it comes to digital photography. They sell more digital cameras than anybody on the planet. Of course, you guys still make a lot of great film. Have you seen, maybe with this new Ektar and the way things have been going lately in this whole digital photography field, that people are wanting to go back to film, or maybe even people that haven't never even shot film are starting to realize what's cool about film, why it's great to capture on film, even if you are going to a digital workflow? Have you seen any kind of feedback from your salespeople and clients that are like, I'm just really digging film again?
Yeah, I hear that quite a bit, and it comes in a bunch of different situations. There are a lot of younger photographers today that have completely grown up with digital. They never had the black and white 101 class and sort of learned photography in traditional ways. And they stop by if we're at a trade show or we'll get emails sometimes, and they would like to try some of the film. And it's mostly because a lot of the terminology, a lot of the teaching, and a lot of the thinking that goes into making a great image is based on that whole film system. And then when they try it, they really begin to see some of the things that you've mentioned before, the outstanding highlight tonality that film offers. So I'm definitely seeing people that have never tried film trying this film, as well as black and white. I mean, I'll throw that out there as well. A lot of people really want to do the undigital thing, which a lot of times is to expose a roll of black and white and then head off into the dark room and come out with some prints. And that was kind of the magic moment that a lot of us remember. So that's kind of exciting. But probably what's more exciting, and I don't know if this is the general trend, the numbers might tell me a little different story, but I do bump into photographers all the time, especially high-volume photographers that want to go back to film, that have gone back to film. And it is a quality issue, and it's a workflow issue. From a quality standpoint, as I mentioned, they're able to get it right the first time. The film system works. The highlight values are captured nicely. Skin tones are always kind of creamy and smooth and accurate. And then from a workflow standpoint, they don't have to do a whole lot of work. Some people don't do any work following the scanning of the film. And the other cool thing from an archival standpoint is that they have access to that image down the road. If they want to do an extremely high-res scan with a film like Ektar 100, you're going to be able to rival any digital back out there, certainly in the 120 format. Tons of information there. That's really why we say it's ideal for scanning, is because quality in equals quality out. So as we've improved the grain as much as we have here, and we kept the highlight and shadow values nicely tucked together there, you're going to get a whole lot of information in that scan. So, Scott, yeah, a mixture of people that shoot digital when the clients ask, but when they have the choice, they prefer to work with film, either due to quality reasons and due to workflow reasons. And then we're always running into people, and they really want to get their hands on black and white because that's the basis for so much in this whole industry today. And they kind of want to go back and learn some things they feel they may have missed. So it's been interesting.
Well, I think, too, that people learn how to correctly expose and work with film-based photography. If they are doing digital, they're going to have better digital photography, too.
Yeah, exposure is one thing. I think the creative aspects of working with film are really important, too. It forces you to kind of pre-visualize what you want, do the right things within the camera to get that look you want. And it's just a great sort of creative process that occurs in the brain. You don't get that feedback right away, which sometimes forces you to work your subject from different angles, work it a little harder because you're not getting a little 2-inch by 2-inch confirmation that, yep, got the image, exposure looks good enough, I like the color, I'm going to move on to whatever is next. Just out of fear and paranoia, you tend to work a subject from a couple more angles, even though you feel you probably have it, there was nothing there to confirm it. And a lot of times that extra time you spend with the subject can provide more rewarding images that you wouldn't have had otherwise. So it's pretty cool.
No, it is. I mean, you are going to spend more time composing, and you definitely shoot more wisely, I believe, when you're shooting film than you're shooting digital. because you are paying per click and you compose better, you think about it better, and typically you're going to have a much higher success rate. I mean, look at people that shoot digital in weddings and they'll shoot 6,000 exposures to get out 200, 300. That's just completely crazy.
Yeah, it's a lot of work somewhere. They have to wade through that and pick out the best of 6,000 shots. I wouldn't want to edit a third of that. So, yeah, there's work to be done after the click massacre happens there.
Well, yeah, and then if you look at a lot of the stuff that's been going on, a lot of some fairly well-known, newer style wedding photographers have learned about film, have picked up a medium format camera and shot a few test photos at a wedding. Say, okay, well, I'm going to play along with one roll here or maybe at an engagement session. And these people are blown away, and they've been posting this stuff on their blog, so now there's beginning to be more of a resurgence in people wanting to shoot film because of the workflow, because that's the big deal, because if you do your correct exposures with, like, the Ektar 100, the portrait series of film you guys have, anything that you want to shoot, if you nail the stuff right, you don't have to do anything to it.
Yeah, and the other thing, Scott, that I've been seeing and hearing is a lot of photographers that are going for the higher end of the market are positioning their work as fine art. And I think fine art lends itself very nicely to film capture. Just the whole permanence, archivalness, the kind of organic nature of what film provides, I think lends itself very nicely. And so certainly on the coast, we see some really, really high-end weddings. And a lot of those clients are specking film. They're, for whatever reason, whatever fields they're in, they're asking for film in these situations. Or the photographer has a great body of work that is on film, and they create fans out of the clients that are going to hire them, and they just want that look. So, pretty exciting.
It is. So, let's talk about your announcement here. We are talking about the 120 Ektar. Have you seen a resurgence in people wanting to do more landscape work, ditch their digital back? What have you heard from your clients and customers that have been sort of really happy about this 120 announcement? Because I know when the 35 was announced, people were like, oh, where's the medium format? Now they have medium format. Have you seen any more feedback on the film, maybe different uses for it? What have you heard from your guys' customers in regards to this being available now in 120?
Well, the beauty is the business case was positive with 35 millimeter, but as soon as we launched this film at Photokina in Germany, we began to hear the inquiries about when is it going to be available in medium format. Same thing when we launched it here in the U.S. We got the same inquiries, and it makes sense if you think about it. 35 millimeter has a wonderful installed base. There's just probably millions upon millions of cameras out there that can load 35 millimeter film, but a lot of 35 millimeter shooters are also digital. We know that. As you sort of shift gears into medium format, there are just some fantastic cameras out there, optically and from a quality standpoint, and they can be decades old and they're as good as they ever were. And yet, a higher percentage of those photographers continue shooting film. So the use of film as a percentage for medium format and even large format is higher with those larger formats. So it makes sense that we had all that passion unleashed on us when we announced this in 35 only. The type of work we're seeing, it's just definitely lending itself a little bit more in the studio area. A lot of people want to try this film out, but definitely the outdoor nature, landscape, aerial photographers that basically have their lens crazy glued to infinity want to get their hands on this. So it's coming at it from really every end of it, except maybe the portrait market, which is very happy with the revamp we did to the portrait films about 2 years ago. So, but I wouldn't rule out someone trying to use it for that.
No, I mean, why not? Why not try? Because you're going to get a different look from every film. When it's economical enough to throw a roll in and shoot some portraits, you might as well try this stuff because you never know what you're going to get.
That's true, and it is priced a good bit lower than our portrait films in both 35 and medium format. We actually have on our website right now a really rich mail-in rebate. So if you buy three rolls of 35 millimeter, there is a $5 mail-in rebate. And if you buy a Pro Pack, five rolls of the Ektar in 120, you can use that $5 rebate for that as well. So
take a free roll of film.
Yeah, for sure. And probably the coolest news associated with that is you're automatically entered into a sweepstakes that we're doing cooperatively with Disney, sort of playing off the outdoor nature focus of this film. We're going to have a pretty cool 5-day, 4-night itinerary to Disney's Animal Kingdom Park and also Disney's Nature Conservancy in their Wilderness Reserve in Florida. So it's kind of a multi-tiered week that we're setting up right now. It's also going to include a pro photography workshop and creativity workshop from Eddie Soloway. And while we're down there, we'll get to meet Florida's very own Clyde Butcher. So it's going to have some really great opportunities for photographing wildlife, and they have some amazing species. I just saw some images a couple weeks ago that was shot on the Ektar, and I saw wildlife ranging from birds, of course, while you're in Florida, but owls and gorillas and giraffes, all sorts of animals.
Great place to go shoot. I mean, this is a really cool opportunity for someone to enter this contest, because I'm sure there's not going to be hundreds of thousands of people entering it.
Yeah, number one, you get the $5, but we're actually going to be awarding 10 of these, so I think the odds are going to end up being pretty good. So I'll just throw the website out there if you want to kind of learn a little bit more about Ektar, and then off to the left you'll find the form for the contest there, but it's kodak.com/go/Ektar, E-K-T-A-R.
Now, with what's going on with this, you do one entry, can you have more than one entry? Can you buy a ton of film and be entered more than once? How's that work?
Well, the mail-in rebate, I believe, it's one per household.
There you go.
That is kind of the limitation we have there.
So if you have three houses, and I guess you can use three different addresses,
right,
and you'll be ahead.
You got three houses, you might be able to do this trip on your own.
You can do it on your own. You don't need to go with the fine folks at Disney and Kodak. But it is a great place to go shoot, because like you said, they've done such a good job that you would never think that you're in Central Florida.
Yeah, and that's what I've heard. I'm really looking forward to it. The images I've seen have been spectacular, and the habitat there, I don't think you'll think you're in Florida, or certainly at a Disney property, you're going to think you're out there in the wilderness, so it should be cool.
So let's talk about this. How much time do I have here to get these rebates? How long is this program going to be going on to where you can enter into this and maybe take advantage of this great rebate, plus actually maybe getting a chance to go to Disney World and hanging out with these professional photographers and doing all this other stuff?
Yeah, I think the mail-in rebate needs to be in by August 31st. So there's a bit of time. But then again, the film really is just loading into our kind of dealer network right now. So it's out there now. We shipped a whole bunch of film in the month of April. Got to have it in to us by the 31st of August. The date of the event will be November 11th through 15th.
Yeah. An excellent opportunity.
So it includes three guests, and includes airfare and accommodations, and passes to Walt Disney World resorts and parks.
You have a lot of stuff on your website, Scott, that people can learn about the Ektar styles of film, the Portra line of film, and basically just a lot of stuff about film. You have some interviews up there with some professional photographers that are using Kodak product. So give me the address, Scott, where everybody wants to go to find out about this great product.
Yeah, I'll repeat the same address, because from there, off to the left, you can navigate to almost everywhere. But if you go to kodak.com/go/Ektar, you'll land on that Ektar page. And then off to the left, you'll see a menu that talks about other color negative films, the Portra family. You can download the technical publication for Ektar to look at some of the details around the film's technology and how that plays out. And then also on the left-hand side, if you want to learn a little bit more about color transparency films or a broad range of black and white films, you can just click on those links and drop over to those areas of the webpage. So it really is quite comprehensive. We've kind of abandoned a lot of brochures and paper materials in favor of having absolutely everything on the website that you can think of. It's a great place to just hunt and peck and find out some information about that film and usage. We've got lots of interviews with photographers and some of our ProPass archive, which is kind of an electronic magazine that you can sign up for that we send out each month to international and U.S. audience. That usually features a lot of photographers in there as well and mentions some products that become available.
Wow, great stuff.
I really appreciate the opportunity to talk about the Ektar in 120 format and really just sort of check in with you, because when we launched the film a couple months ago, you're never sure. We're excited, and the initial conversations that we've had around it were exciting when we were talking to photographers, but the market has accepted these films, and we're definitely seeing sales and a lot of energy on the forums talking and discussing this new film. So I think it's a good sign for everybody that is involved in traditional product to see Kodak continue to innovate and bring out new products. Portra line a couple years ago, the T-Max 400 about a year and a half ago, and now the Ektar films. So definitely where we see areas to invest, we will continue to do that. And color negative offers a great value proposition to photographers, and we had some great technology we could put into the new Ektar 100 film, which we've done.
This is beautiful stuff, and I do appreciate you, Scott, taking time today to join us and tell everybody here with Inside Analog Photo all this great stuff that's going on with the Ektar line and, of course, the availability of the 120 format. This is great stuff, buddy.
Great. My pleasure. Anytime.
Well, there you go. Scott DiSabato. marketing manager with Eastman Kodak in charge of professional films. I've been your host, Scott Shepard, here on Inside Analog Photo, and the Inside Analog Photography radio program is brought to you by our friends over at Fujifilm, making life more colorful over at www.fujifilmusa.com, Richard Photo Lab over at richardphotolab.com, our friends over at DR5 for black and white chrome at dr5.com, Upstrap at upstrap-pro.com, and our media partners of the Analog Photography User Group, www.apug.org. I've been your host, Scott Chipper. We'll be back next week with more great analog photography.